Bye, folks. We wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Right, thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Okay, State Representative Scott Krug, wrapping up part one of this edition of the Morning Magazine. As always, it's brought to you by Comfort Air.
Did you know propane costs are 15% higher right now compared to last year at this time? Did you also know Comfort Air Heating Plumbing has the largest selection of wood-burning fireplaces, wood-burning fireplace inserts, wood-burning stoves, wood-burning furnaces, and outdoor wood boilers in central Wisconsin? Come visit our showroom, 880 Highway 73 South, Wisconsin Rapids, located between Highway 13 South and Nakusa, or check us out online at comfortair.biz. Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, whatever it takes.
Buena Vista Investment Management of Wisconsin Rapids understands today's global markets and brings small town values and creative investment solutions to your financial portfolio. With active financial managers and great customer service, Buena Vista Investment Management is here to see that your financial well-being is here for many years to come. Give them a call today at 422-0700. Buena Vista Investment Management, 241 3rd Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
For this afternoon, we'll be seeing cloudy skies with our winds out of the south 5 to 10. Highs will be reaching into the upper 20s. Cloudy skies tonight with the south wind at 5 to 10 and overnight lows falling back into the lower 20s. Then on Saturday, mostly skies, south winds, highs will reach into the low 30s. Saturday night, cloudy skies, south winds, lows in the mid-20s. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, powered by weatherology.com, I'm meteorologist Greg Tatrow.
Thank you, Greg. Under cloudy skies, it's 20 in Wausau, 24 in Marshfield, 19 in Stevens Point, and 24 here at AM 1320 in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing. It's time for part two. Once again, here's Carl Hilke.
Thank you, Jerry, and welcome back, everybody, to today's show on AM 1320 and WFHR.com. It's time for another edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment with Pete Bry. You can find your local investment professionals at 715-422-0700. With that, we welcome the professor of our economics class, Pete Bry. Our topic for today, the 2015 investment environment. With that, I have to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Well, same to you. I think we're going to have a good New Year, and I'm excited for that.
Okay, we're talking about what's happening with the economy, and there's a lot of crazy things happening right now as we speak. Everybody, this week, there was the patience was the magic word that came out of the Fed, interest rates. And then everybody's, all of us drivers and motorists are happy to see those gas prices going down, but we're all wondering what that means in terms of crude oil and our oil industry, our industry that's been, helping create that situation. So what? Let's talk about the current situation and what that means leading into next month, new year.
Well, as we pertains to oil, that's not only a domestic issue. Obviously, it's a world issue.
Sure.
And so, as in many things, there will be winners and there will be losers. In general, let's start with the United States. Obviously, a lot of the increase in employment, the increase in capital expenditures for equipment and things of that have been predominantly driven by the phenomenon of fracking and drilling for oil, which has increased our ability in the United States to be almost self-sufficient within a couple of years. And so what we'll see, and this is a market, and all markets have their ups and they have their downs and things like that. So what we'll see in the industry, per se, is you're going to see the guys who were aggressive and took on debt and had a lot of wells going, and all of a sudden, instead of getting 100, they're going to get 50 to 70 for a period of time here. You're going to see them probably lay people off. They're probably going to cut capacity or drilling expectations till the oil that they are harvesting will be more profitable. So in the meantime, the ones that prudently and long-term range planning involved in their decision-making will be probably the hunters, and to look at those particular companies that are going with bad balance sheets and essentially vulnerable, be trying to pick up some assets. So from the industry, obviously, it's going to be a short-term negative. There's no way that they're going to make more money at, with less pricing, all right? So the effect of that, obviously, will be not as great as the decrease in the energy costs, not only for the individual, but also for companies.
Right.
And so as those prices continue to go down, that is going to probably end up being a positive for GDP, because it's found money. I mean, all of a sudden, at the end of the month now, the average consumer has more money than he had in a while because gas prices are essentially significantly down. I mean, they're down from earlier this year well over a dollar per gallon. And so for anyone extending who does extensive travel, obviously that's going to be a big thing. It's also, where's that money going to go? Well, that's going to money is going to go back, I believe, into the economy in terms of a purchasing, things that have been put on the back shelf. It may go into trips. It may go, you know, just simply getting out and going to the restaurants more than they've had in the past. You know, we talked a little bit over this last year on Obamacare, and with the higher premiums and the higher deductibles, what a drag that had been on, you know, consumer and retail,
right,
and things like that. So, from the United States, overall, this will be quite good for the specific industry, not so much, but then we've got the world stage.
What about, could we see some younger companies that got into the fracking industry go out of business because of this? Could there be a shakeout?
Well, there definitely will be. I mean, it's like... you know, America has a history. You think about the gold rush. I mean, everybody,
right,
they found gold in California, and everybody was going to have their fortune. Well, you know, you had boom cities out there.
Right.
You had people who did. You had people who didn't. And this is the modern-day equivalent of that. North Dakota was this quiet little state where, you know, you could maybe name two towns. And now if you go out there, it's a vibrant, they're probably lowest unemployment, biggest state plus. And so when that happens, what we've got is a whole bunch of companies out there drilling, and the fact of the matter is what happens is when things are going like that, bankers line up to lend you money, the bond market lends you money. So there was two or three companies in particular that have a big debt. And the thing about debt is it doesn't go away, and you make, you know, if you don't make your payments, the bankers are usually first in line for your property. So, especially, I guess the one contingency would be is the duration of how long it stays in range. Right today, I think it's $55 a barrel, and things at. Below 60, you know, in general, it's not very profitable across the board. You know, there's some exception to that rule. But from, you know, 60 or above, a lot of people, a lot of companies are going to be able to do quite well. One of the great things and what triggered this whole phenomena is the wonderful technology that is, takes place in the United States and is implemented. And so we see the companies that can afford to will drop and lower their costs of getting oil out of the ground.
Okay. Well, one of the, you talked about the international aspect of it. There's been talk, but basically, Saudi Arabia isn't just trying to hurt the U.S. industry, the fracking industry, but it's trying to get rid of some of its OPEC challengers, and it wants to. It could survive $40 oil. What's on this?
Well, you know, there's two elements there. There's the profitability of what it costs them to actually take the oil out of the ground. And at $40, from what all I've read and understood, is that that would be the case. But the second point of that is so many of the world's countries, oil is a government-owned operation.
Right.
And so the numbers and the that are projected off the harvesting of oil goes to the revenue side of the budget for the country. And obviously they fund a lot of, well, they fund pretty a lot of their programs. So, you know, it's thought that on the revenue side, the Saudis use the figure of $100 to generate the revenue needed to cover their expenses. And so it depends on what you're talking about in terms of the $40 or whatever thing. You know, look at... There's a geopolitical element here.
Oh, yes.
I think that is very interesting, and you know, it's always would be interesting to be a fly in some of these meeting rooms. But you know, Russia obviously is number one. Resources, their energy,
and their economy is going in the tank, right?
Well, and you know, is that just bad luck, or is that you know, in lieu of their their infiltration or whatever, if you want to say, in Ukraine and mm-hmm. taking over Crimea, you know, much like we've talked about the history of the stock market in 2000, you don't forget that, you know, and obviously, at least for our generation, you know, we were taught that the Russians are evil and they're
right.
going to take over the world. And, mm-hmm. you know, and so this is kind of a reenactment of the Cold War, which obviously when the Berlin Wall came down, so we haven't seen this for quite a while. And with there's the sanctions put on them,
right.
and their insistence, the Russians' insistence on being belligerent about it, obviously, you know, it's irritated several people. And so with the Saudis being somewhat of our, you know, on our side more excited than not, you know, and with ISIS in Iraq, and so, you know, the ISIS is funded by the oil wells they've stole and the black oil they're selling. And so, you know, with those two things and by a byproduct, if we're going to have less oil drilling in the United States, all that helps the Saudis. So, you know, their insistence on not wanting to cut back on production very much a one-off from what they had done in years past when oil got to a certain level. They've kind of been the swing provider, and they've reduced their amount of production so that things get back in the loop. And so with the ruble, the Russian currency at record lows, you've got it's costing them more to bring in whoever they're dealing with to bring in their supplies, which means the people of Russia are paying more. And, you know, it's like anything. No one's ever happy when they have to pay more for things that they need to live on.
And speaking of live on, I just saw a little blurb on the in the USA Today yesterday about Russians, you know, run on the stores for appliances and everything else because the taxes on that or the prices on those are rapidly going up, and they're expecting those to go up even more, and they want to get them now at the current price. So there's a run on stores for various consumer goods.
Yeah, which is interesting because I'm pretty sure they can't eat them. Think about it. You had a choice of what to stock up on because prices are going up.
When you buy food.
It'd be nice to have TVs and headphones and all that, but you still have to eat to survive. So it's interesting in times of panic what people prioritize.
You're listening to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Back with more right after this.
Buena Vista Investment Management of Wisconsin Rapids understands today's global markets and brings small-town values and creative investment solutions to your financial portfolio. With active financial managers and great customer service, Buena Vista Investment Management is here to see that your financial well-being is here for many years to come. Give them a call today at 422-0700. Buena Vista Investment Management, 241 3rd Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
It's a tradition like no other. It's the 30 hours of Christmas on AM 1320 WFHR. Starting on Christmas Eve afternoon at 1 p.m. right on through Christmas Day, 30 hours of some of the finest holiday programming. From old-time radio specials to the top music of the season, you'll hear it right here. You're invited to join us anytime. Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, we've got it here for you. The 30 hours of Christmas from your friends at AM 1320 WFHR.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
For this afternoon, we'll be seeing cloudy skies with our winds out of the south 5 to 10. Highs will be reaching into the upper 20s. Cloudy skies tonight with the south wind 5 to 10 and overnight lows falling back into the lower 20s. Then on Saturday, mostly cloudy skies, south winds. Highs will reach into the low 30s. Saturday night, cloudy skies, south winds, lows in the mid-20s. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, powered by weatherology.com, I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro.
Thank you, Greg. Right now, clouds and 24 at AM 1320. Welcome back to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry again. You can reach the folks at Buena Vista at 715-422-0700. We're talking about the 2015 investment environment. Okay, Pete, we talked about the going into the break and kind of trying to give the people a picture of what's happening right now. What does it mean for the U.S. economy and for investors?
All right. Well, you know, as we look at next year, we're looking at, I think, a lot of really positives. We talked a little bit about less energy costs.
Right.
That's money in your pocket. The Fed yesterday or 2 days ago, whenever, basically said, hey, we're not in any hurry to raise short-term rates. So we have mortgage rates. We got rates to buy, you know, whether it's a car or other things for your home at record lows. And so at the same time, so on the expense side, things stay low. Inflation is low on the wage side, we're seeing modest increases in wages. The amount of people being employed, 214,000 on average this year, is the best since 1999. We've got more people working in manufacturing since 1998. And so with more people working, wages starting to go up, expenses going down, we look for the economy to be very good again next year. There's nothing right in the current forecast that would let us believe that, you know, sustaining the growth that we're on is quite good. And, you know, we did 4.6% GDP growth in the second quarter and 3.1% in the third quarter. And that's the best since those two quarters mm-hmm. are the best since, like, 2003. And so we're really optimistic about the U.S. growth. Quickly on the international growth, if you are reliant on importing oil, i.e. Europe, Japan, India, this is going to be really good for your economy. If you are Brazil or Russia or the OPEC countries, Venezuela, Libya, et cetera, not so good. And so on the international market, it's going to be kind of a good and bad, and nothing in, you know, not too many in between. And so depending on, we think China, India, Asia will all benefit, and their economies will be relatively strong.
What does this mean for investors? Where are the opportunities in the new year?
Well, as we all have discussed and stuff, is that, you know, in the short term, there's a lot of things that drive prices up and down. But in, over time is the growth of your earnings. And so if the scenario plays out that we have just talked about, you're going to see earnings growth continue in probably most industries other than the oil, which I think will obviously be an industry that will lag next year. But things, again, retail should be better. All right. The fact that the reaction to the market and stuff leads to confidence in the manufacturing sector. To maybe it's time to hire more people. Maybe it's time to build more capacity. So we think industries like technology, you know, again, previously discussed, you can only keep technology so long before it's outdated, it's not fast enough, it's not efficient enough. The tablets and that whole phenomena continues to expand, so that they'll do quite well. So we'll have the industrial sector, we think, well, technology will do well. I believe consumer-related things we will continue, and essentially healthcare. I mean, you know, the continues to be one of the fastest growing between the continual search for drugs for the hospitals and Obamacare and you know, items going on in healthcare that'll come. So we look for those particular industries to do quite well.
One area that I've read about that you could see some growth in, I'd be interested in your take on that, is there seems to be growing bipartisan concern, believe it or not, in Washington, about our infrastructure, specifically highways, bridges, the stuff that we use to transport our goods and services. Could this be an area of growth in the future? Companies involved in road building and everybody, the makers of equipment that do the, could this all be, if all of a sudden we got serious about rebuilding our infrastructure?
Absolutely. I mean, there is, you know, it's very puzzling when you look at the number of bridges that are, have collapsed, are in need of repair, the roads and all this thing, and how we cannot come to some kind of consensus of how to get this done. The amount of jobs that would be created would good paying jobs,
right?
Would be, good. Obviously the efficiency of better infrastructure, less accidents, less concerns. Let's patch it instead of fix it type thing. So it's a unbelievable opportunity, and you know, again, there's always a million reasons why not, but you know, just the simple Keystone pipeline, all right?
Right.
Really? We'd rather have that oil shipped off in trains and those are disrail and blow up cities than go into pipelines. And so, yeah, there's just a million things, and you know, it's just like, you know, this week. The Cuba thing. The Cuba thing could be a very beneficial thing, and you know, I sometimes just are amazed at the party that is supposed to be pro-business and you know, what's
pro-growth,
the economy, pro-growth. We want jobs. There's 11 million people in Cuba, and we're afraid of them. And, you know, we're making them punish for something that's happened over the years. Why don't we bring them up and help them and give them an opportunity?
In fact,
and you know, Major League Baseball can't hurt them either.
In fact, there's a Cuban business group, a business group, who is supporting this from Cuba, saying we need to learn. We're trying to develop entrepreneurship. We need this engagement with you folks. This is going to help get rid of the old style communists better than trying to isolate us, because it's stupid. It hasn't worked.
Right.
50 years. It hasn't worked at all. And everybody else is dealing with them. And then from a consistency standpoint, we're dealing with Vietnam. We're dealing with China.
You know? Yeah, exactly. But, you know, one last thing on Cuba, and I just say, you know, yeah. Oh my God, we didn't do anything. thing. Well, you know, the fact is the Kestrel brothers are in their 80s. They're not going to be there forever. And this will give us an opportunity to, you know, make it a vibrant place like it once was. So, but, you know, in general, one last thing quickly just to talk about is that, you know, one of the most unusual thing continues to be, you know, the length and duration of low interest rates.
Yeah, everyone watched for that statement and the way worded, and patience was the big word in the Fed statement.
Yeah, and then obviously we saw the reaction. But, you know, we would guess that their consistency in their message is such that, you know, next year, you know, rates will go up. It may go up. I don't think it's a given they'll go up. But, you know, they should go up in terms of a long-term stability of our place. But, you know, I would guess that in general, you know, it's saying, you know, your desire to try and get more income obviously has led more to alternative products and things like that. But, you know, in the bond market, I still don't see much reason to be in long bonds versus, you know, maybe a 1 to 5 year ladder in bonds. And, you know, it's full. But I think when ultimately with all this money, with Japan doing QE and Europe looks like they're going to do quantitative easing, and obviously we've did there's a lot of money, and once, you know, once that unleashes and starts getting in and being purchased and driving prices up, you know, I don't know, catch up without doing some damage.
Is there something that you're going to be watching for in the new year that would raise a warning signs, something that you're going, I hope this doesn't happen. As long as this doesn't happen, it looks like next year is going to be a good year. But if this happens, uh-oh.
Well, I think the major thing I would say fits that category is the amount of geopolitical and conflicts going on right now, and that, you know, the stability of some of these people in terms of their decision making and looking at the greater good. I mean, you know, it goes to the old cliche of if you put a tiger into the corner, at some point he's going to attack. So, you know, what is Putin going to do to get out of his situation? We alienated the North Koreans, you know, and again, I'm sure this is way beyond it, but, you know, that particular regime, you know, what are they going to do? ISIS is obviously a concern. So, you know, if they start doing things that will disrupt, you know, militarily disrupt and causes people to team up, you know, that obviously would be the ultimate concern. Right.
Right.
Beyond that, if we're wrong in interest rates and they go up with great intensity, that'll temporarily dislodge. I mean, the expectations are that rates will go up gradually. Well, if all of a sudden they go up from basically being zero and they're at 1.5, and the question is, are they going to 3 or are they, you know, and stuff like that. So, on an economic standpoint, I would guess that interest rates and the intensity they go up, and consequently, the ultimate then would be, there's a good possibility that we see a melt up in the market, all right, as people are getting more comfortable and confident. The consumer index is up to record highs, and that, all right, oh my God, so, I mean, everybody's making money in the market, and we get the overvaluation. So those are two more of financial concerns we'll be looking for. But in the meantime, you know, take advantage for those of you that are investors and you've weathered the storm in October and this one in December, you know, it proves again that timing is a tough thing to do.
Yes, it is. But speaking of time, our time is up on this edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management. Pete, to you and everybody at Buena Vista, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Well, I'd just like to not only extend those similar greetings to everybody at WFHR here, but also to our listeners. We appreciate you talking and giving us feedback. As usual, we try to make this, you know, a very educational show as much as anything else. And if you do have comments of things that we could do to do better,